crush upon. White silver sands, there on the brink of love I kissed her and obeyed our heart's command. Where the deep blue pearly waters wash upon white silver sands, we watch the sun set in the evening in a far and distant land. So here beneath sky's blue heaven, there's a place I must go. See the sun set in the evening with the only love I know. Where the deep blue pearly waters wash upon white silver sands, there on the brink of love I kissed her and obeyed our heart's command.
The 1957 number 7 hit, White Silver Sands, performed by Don Rondo, who passed away very recently. And you may recognize that voice in a number of commercials, New Hampshire's airwaves and the like, but mostly from his music throughout the 50s. And some of them went on to be very, very big hits. This White Silver Sands was his last big hit. So we remember Don Rondo today here on The Pulse. 1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number from no matter wherever you are listening from across New Hampshire on The Pulse. 1077-1071 WTPL, 94.3 AM 1400 WTSL, and everywhere at WTPLFM.com. An issue that is affecting the entire Granite State, and that is this proposal for the to bring clean energy into New Hampshire. I mean, we have been making a lot of strides in that regard. And there's one proposal that is drawing a lot of interest from people from the North Country on down into Franklin, which stands to have a couple of hundred jobs created by this project, and then having that energy piped into the Deerfield substation to eventually go onto the electrical grid. It's going to be the subject of many more discussions here on the radio, as well as newspaper articles and the like, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it, especially as part of the nationwide debate on having more clean and renewable energy. And a man that we have talked to many times from Public Service of New Hampshire, Martin Murray, who's their spokesman, and we usually talk to him when weather's bad or following bad weather. But Martin Murray is also the spokesman for the Northern Pass Project, at least on the American side of it. And Martin Murray, welcome back to Bulldog Live. Glad to get your perspective on this project as well. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Mr. Bulldog. I'm just fine. And let me ask you, before we get into okay. Don Rondo. Now, we have a Rondo working in the company here. Did you say there's a New Hampshire connection?
There is. Don Rondo has a son, Gary Rondo, who's a member of our Pulse family of advertisers here, Gary Rondo's Automotive in Hooksett.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if the Rondo that you have working there is the same thing.
All right, I'm going to find out.
Okay, well, Don Rondo went by, if you were to Google him and you wanted to go check out some of the stuff, you know, YouTube's got a few of his things. It's actually spelled R-O-N-D-O for his stage name, but you know, we know the actual spelling is something different. So, but Don Rondo, a radio personality who I think was basically in the 60s, mid-60s, he moved into broadcasting.
Well, it was nice to hear it again. But thanks for the opportunity to come on and talk about the project, Bulldog. I appreciate it. We do talk usually about PSNH-centric issues. Mm-hmm. This is a little different. As your listeners probably know, we're a subsidiary of a larger corporation, Northeast Utilities, and Northeast Utilities has partnered with NSTAR out of Boston on the American side and on the Canadian side with HQ on a proposal to bring renewable energy, hydroelectric energy from Canada into New England. So that's kind of the very general high-level view of what we're doing, and obviously there's lots that go along with a big project like that.
Sure, exactly. And I think one of the big things that people are very concerned about at this point, and was also the subject of a Conquer Monitor article in about the past week, and that is what is this project going to look like on our landscape?
Yeah, exactly. Because, and this is, again, a general view, but I think for the most part, most people can understand that this is a good project. It has a lot of benefits. If we can do it in a manner that impacts, well, how about nobody? I mean, if we could impact no one, that'd be terrific. It'd be a home run. But obviously, if you're talking about creation of a brand new line that doesn't exist now, a transmission line that will carry a large amount of energy, renewable energy, from the border at Quebec all the way down to Franklin onto Deerfield, obviously there's change there. There's impact. It has to go somewhere. And that does impact people, so there is some concern. So I would say that, that has certainly, about 99% of the reaction we get is in terms of where is it going to go and what is it going to look like. And if I could, before we get too specific about, say the Concord area, I'd like to say in general, I think there is a lot of misconception and confusion about a related aspect, and that is in terms of where will this line go. We have proposed a preferred route for the line from Canada down to Franklin, onto Deerfield, but there is a incredibly robust and open public process now in terms of the permitting, both on the federal level and at the state level. In other words, just because we said this is our preferred route doesn't mean that that's where the route will eventually end up. Everyone in this state is going to have the opportunity, if they wish, to attend and to comment, complain, or praise the proposed preferred route. People can suggest alternatives. These are going to be held at, but it's a federal process. The Department of Energy is heading this up. And it will be in development of an environmental impact statement. So prior to the EIS, if you will, being developed, they have to hear from people like you, me, your listeners, in terms of what are their comments about the project, what alternatives would they suggest in terms of a route. And the Department of Energy will basically, as part of the EIS development, will then outline probably a number of alternative routes that should be analyzed before they finalize an environmental impact statement. So I just wanted to put that out there in terms of perhaps calming some people who might falsely feel that the process is already a done deal. It is not. We are very, very early in this process. It is a long process. It's going to take a couple of years, frankly, before the permitting process is complete. And as part of that permitting process, a tremendous amount of opportunity, again, both at the federal level and at the state level, for people here at home to comment and to offer their own suggestions as to siting.
Now, this is not just a PSNH project. It's actually between your parent company, Northeast Utilities, NSTAR out of Boston, as well as Hydro-Québec. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's fallen on us, I guess, here in New Hampshire to explain and to talk about the New Hampshire portion of it.
Okay.
It is basically, if we step back in terms of the purpose of the need for this project, there really is a demand in this country, in this region, in this state for more energy, but not more energy because we don't have enough, but more renewable energy. In other words, if we are able to complete this project and bring 1,200 megawatts, which is enough to power about a million homes, 1,200 megawatts of hydroelectric renewable energy power into New England, what that means, Brian, is that a like amount, 1,200 megawatts of something else, won't be running. And the way our marketplace works, it all comes down to economics. if this runs, that means something more expensive and filled with carbon emissions, something fossil fuel generated, will not run because this 1,200 megawatts is being put into our regional power pool. What that's going to do is force the market, the average market price for energy down, because this will be more economic and less costly than the more expensive fossil fueled energy that would be running if this was not in the mix.
Well, and I'm thinking right now, what do we have in New Hampshire that runs on fossil fuels? We have a coal power plant.
Well, the regional power pool doesn't really respect state borders. In other words,
okay,
we actually have more power being generated in New Hampshire than New Hampshire needs. Everything that is running in New Hampshire, be it the Garbins Falls hydroelectric plant near you, to the Seabrook plant on the coast, all of that power is basically dumped into the regional power pool. But on a day-to-day basis, not all of the energy is needed. So what the operators do, Brian, is they know how much power they need, and it's determined by the marketplace. Only the most economic power is running day-to-day, and the more expensive power simply can't compete, and it's not being sold, it's not running. The difference with this project is it's going to be put into the marketplace at basically at the bottom, along with the other hydroelectric and the nuclear power plants. It's going to be put in at the bottom in terms of the cost. They'll accept, as the more expensive fossil fuel mixes are put into that power pool, they'll accept whatever the market price is, and that's how they'll recover their money for this line. Is they'll sell their power into the pool, accept the market price, and pay off the costs associated with this line. So it's going to, we expect it's going to reduce our overall energy costs as a region and as a state compared to what they would be otherwise.
All right, Martin Murray joining us here, 1-866-823-1077. It's a phone number where you're always welcome to join us. Martin, I got to take a time out here. I want to talk about the process, the hearings that are coming up, or maybe forums or whatever that the powers that be will be holding. And then I also want to talk about the issue of these rights of ways, because that, I think, right there is what gets a lot of people very concerned. So we'll try and hit on all of them here, shall we?
Sounds good.
Okay. Martin Murray from Northern Pass, the spokesman for the Northern Pass Project here, joining us on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.